advancement, you know, and progress. Advancement's the name of this topic. It comes from a Greek word, prokopto, which it means, well, let's go to the etymology of the word. It's an old Greek word that, it's a mariner's word, to make headway even regardless of the blows. Okay, and blows means the wind, we're sailing, okay? That's the etymology of it. Naturally, when the wind's blowing directly from the direction you want to go and all you've got is sail power, what do? You tack into the wind. You go right on, just even if the wind's blowing from that way, you can tack and go into it. Always make headway, regardless of which way the wind's blowing from or how much opposition you have. You make headway. That's the meaning of the word. And progress. Any rock that holds still gets moss on it, okay? Therefore, you need to do something. Even if you do something wrong, occasionally it's better to do something than nothing at all. And naturally, always try to follow the Word of God as best you can. We always have an example, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 2 and see what, even when he was a boy, how he treated this particular word, prokopto, okay? Verse 40 of chapter 2, the great apostle Luke, and verse 40 of that chapter 2 reads, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, that's the secret to progress right there, if you have the grace of God on you. You doubt him, hey, he don't belong, okay? That makes it pretty blunt, doesn't it? But that's the way the cookie crumbles, my friend. God does not appreciate doubters. He doesn't mind you having a little confusion along, but if you're a dead-set, long-lived doubter, you're not going to have his grace, which means his blessings, and you're going to have a tough old road to hoe, okay? Verse 41, "And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." That was necessary. What was the Passover? Well, it's to go with the anointment and the price paid where trouble has to pass over your house. The death angel must pass over your house ultimately. That is to say, the Antichrist. He can't stop at your place. Why? Because you've got the blood of the Lamb on your heart, your mind, and your door. Okay. And because you believe. And you're active within that. 42, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Why did they go to these feasts? They didn't have Bibles back then. And that's when the Word of God was read, okay, to the people, to the laypersons. They could hear the Word of God and God's promises whereby they could claim them and have blessings. Now, verse 42, "And when he was 12 years old," this is why a lot of people call this the age of accountability. It happens at many different ages. "They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast," 43, "and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." I mean, there was a large group of families went. He was always so perfect in minding and responsibility, they weren't the least bit worried that he was with them, because he always took care of business, even as a child. Okay. But this time he wasn't there. 43, "But they supposed him to have been in the company when a day's journey, and they sought him along among their kinfolks and acquaintances, checking for him." Mother's probably getting a little worried about this time. 45, "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." They went after the boy. 46, "And it came to pass that after 3 days," that's interesting, isn't it? 3 days, "they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." I mean, he's right downtown with the high muckety ducks here. So what you've got to understand, that even though he was 12, he's still the Word become flesh walking among us. And I'm sure that he really impressed these so-called doctors, okay? 47, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. This is why you must always advance. Always gain wisdom. That brings you success. 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You'll notice the father there is in the lower case. And, of course, she's talking about Joseph. Okay. Now, Christ is not going to consider Joseph his real father. Okay. Well, because he wasn't. He was his adopted father. Okay. Verse 49. Christ answers, and he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's, uppercase, got it? My father's business. Where does father's business take place? In father's house, okay, the temple. And he was taking care of business real good. 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They should have. Mary most likely probably understood in part. 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Mothers always do. Mothers always note things that other people miss. 52, this is why I came here. And Jesus increased. That is the word prokopto. Okay. I mean, we're making headway even regardless of the wind. Okay. Regardless of opposition. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, of course, age, and in favor with God and man. They all loved him. Now, this is why I encourage you, never think you've gotten to a point where you know everything. Never think you've gotten to a place where there's no need for you to study any longer. You got it. You have it. Okay. You must always increase. You must always, regardless of how strong the blows are. You know, some scholars think that this word, the etymology, is from a blacksmith striking the iron on an anvil, and the more he hits the blows, the longer the iron gets, okay? Which is wrong, okay? It's a mariner term having to do with sailing. But at the same time, the base of the word is there's hardship. It can happen. But do you know something? God's people do not mind hardship. Don't necessarily like it. But we know how to cut it. We know how to get it done. That's the way God's people are. And that's what God expects you to do, is always increase and have the faith and the knowledge to know that if you set your foot forward, you'll make it. Okay. God will give you information and understanding if you will seek it. If you won't stand still, if you'll move forward, even when it looks bad, even when the wind really comes strong against you, you tack into that problem. And you keep tacking until you arrive at your destination, that is to say, success in your life. Because the reason I came here is I wanted you to know that the same was with Jesus Christ. He started out and he increased as he went. You can too. And we all must. That's why we study. That's why they would go to Passover to hear the word read, because the word is pregnant and there's always more to it. If you'll pay attention and if you'll gain that understanding, that wisdom, and the more wisdom you gain, the less problems you're going to have in life and the more you can understand how to get ahead in life. Go with me to 1 Timothy. But Christ himself, experiencing these things, as always showing us the way, how to get it done. And as he increased, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Always advance. Always look forward. You know, once the water's under the bridge, other than common sense telling you if it was bad, don't go there again, you can't do anything about that water that's under the bridge. It's gone. But you can sure do something about the water that's coming down. Okay? You can take advantage of it. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy, verse 1, it reads, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." That's apostasy. People that turn away from Scripture, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, what God has to say, and go with the traditions of men. It will get you in trouble, my friend. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, do you understand what that means? When you burn something, it kills the nerves in it. There's no feeling. So that's what it means. Their conscience is seared over. There's no nerve there. There's no feeling. Meaning they have no conscience. Okay. Forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received, with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now this particular verse confuses many, many people. Traditions of men are going to tell you, well, Jesus himself said if you're divorced, you cannot marry as long as the man lives. That's unless you repent. Okay? Don't let somebody judge you. God doesn't, okay? When you do it His way, if you ask for repentance, I ask forgiveness. Evidently, it wasn't a marriage made in heaven, or it'd still be going. Okay, something wrong somewhere. It takes two to tango, so both should repent. But don't let somebody judge you. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. And what about meats? A lot of people take this and say, "Boy, you could eat anything you want." That's not what it said. See, people don't read too good. Even though they can be pretty well educated. It said, don't let somebody judge you in the meats God created to be received. There are a lot of meats He created not to be received. Okay. They're good. They have a purpose. They keep the germs and the filth cleaned up from the earth. They're scavengers. But you don't eat them. You don't eat scavengers or you're sick. Okay. They will make you sick. Don't let people judge you. You listen to God's Word. Do it His way. Advance in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Be healthy, happy, and complete in God's Word. For every creature of God is good in the purpose it was created for, you bet. And nothing should be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, as long as God created it for whatever purpose you're using it for. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. You want to always remember that. Plant seeds. That's what he's telling you. Share the good news that you have learned. When someone is down, when they have trouble, share it with them. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Keep your mind exercised. You know, a mind is just like an old rock. If it doesn't move, it gets moss on it. You've got to exercise your mind. Practice memorizing even Scripture, if you would. It's kind of tough sometimes, but work at it. It isn't so much as interested in, and much important to remember Scripture by Scripture as it is to remember the message and share it, because you have tools that you can find anything you want. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, this is kind of a bad translation, and you lose the whole thought if you're not careful. What it means is bodily exercise only lasts a little while if you quit. Okay. You can get all muscled up and, you know, worked out and you're in good shape, but if you quit working out, it's going to wear out. It's not going to last. It's going to get real flabby, right, real quick. Okay? You don't believe it? It'll work. Okay. So, exercise, it just, you got to keep it up. You got to keep at it, in other words. But godliness is profitable unto all things or all times, okay? It's forever. Having promise of the life, what life? Eternal life. That now is, and of that which is to come. In other words, it's profitable forever. And it's not that he, now a lot of people would say, well, did he say you shouldn't exercise? No, he didn't say that. He just said it doesn't last long, but if you believe and have faith and you advance yourself in understanding, if you progress into the truth, it's going to be with you forever. You're going to have life eternal. And that's exactly what he means. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You can just put it, you can put it in your spiritual bank. Okay. Verse 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That kind of separates the troops, all right? These things command and teach. You remember it. Plant seeds, okay? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, a lot of times you can have a person 60 years old and they're young in the Word. They don't know hardly anything. If you sit down to have a deep Bible conversation with them, you're going to draw a blank. Okay, and that's not that. Then treat them as young and bring them along. Okay, don't hold that against them. But work with them. Go to that level. It is never important what a teacher knows. What is important is if he can go to the level of the person he or she is teaching and bring them up. Okay. Not trying to impress them with your overpowering knowledge, okay, of Scripture, but to speak common sense whereby laypersons can understand. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading. You read publicly if you have to exhortation, to doctrine. You be wise in all those things. Advance, okay? Meditate. Move forward. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. You know, God's the one that gives the gifts, not the presbytery, okay? They don't give the gifts. It's all right if they want to lay hands on and sanctify it, ask sanctification, but all gifts come from God. And when God gives you a gift, don't hide it, okay? And all of us have different gifts. Thank God for that, necessarily. Some of us have the same. But basically, all in all, we have different gifts because God wants, he's got a big job to be done. And he gives gifts to get that done by the whole body. Okay. 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting, there's our word, okay, advancing, profiting, here it's prokape, okay, as I stated. It's moving into that wind regardless of how hard it blows, making headway. That's the whole thought of the etymology of the word. Make headway regardless of the blows, the wind direction. But what does meditate mean? It comes from, believe it or not, it comes from the etymology of that word. It's a cow chewing its cud. Okay, a cow naturally has more than one stomach, and when they're out in the field, they grab those old legumes and so forth, and then they go and they lie down or park themselves, and they bring the cud up and they chew it. Okay, again, they chewed it once. Now they chew it over all again. That's what you do in your mind. You chew this thought over until you've got it, and you understand it until you figure it out. God always utilizes common sense. And why? Well, because that's what's natural. Okay. So you want to always go with that. And he will profit you, in as it is written in that 15th verse, that word, regardless of how strong the wind blows against you. And you're going to have problems. Okay. Some people may even speak bad of you. Okay. Trust me, they will. Okay. But don't let that bother you. Okay. You know. This is why it is written in the closing chapter of Mark that you can pick up serpents and they can't bite you. That's a metaphor that means Satan can't harm you. Okay. Satan's a snake and you can do whatever you want to with him because you have power over him. Or it states you can drink poison. It means your character, your reputation, in fact, will stand up against anything anybody wants to bring against it. When you do that, you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. Okay. Concentrate on the Word, not men. Not what men say, not what some men might do. But concentrate on God's Word and pleasing Him. Therefore, you receive His blessings, and you're going to gain understanding and wisdom. And do you know something? That makes you successful. You notice it said that Jesus was popular with both God and man. If you do what's right in your community, if you love people in a Christian way, they're going to love you. You're going to have popularity in your neighborhood because you're a good person. And they know it. Verse 16 to complete. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. That's to say, the teaching, the truth. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You're not only saving yourself, but you're a blessing to others. Do you want to be that? You know, God's elect always have compassion for their fellow man. They want to share that good news. What they've learned. And that's good. That's natural. And you should. That's what God wants you to do. And we thank our Father for that. So there we have it. Is to meditate, to advance, and to progress in the Word of God. The simplicity in which He brings forward. Turn over to 2 Timothy now. 2 Timothy chapter 10. I'm sorry, chapter 2. We'd have trouble if we went to chapter 10. Chapter 2, we're going to go to verse 10. And this is Paul teaching. Okay. Verse 10 reads, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's you, okay? That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So that you can have that truth, the simplicity of it. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. You are resurrected a new person. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him, and if we deny Him, He also will deny us. That's just natural, okay? This is why a doubter wants to be real careful. If you deny Christ, I can tell you what's going to happen to you. He's going to deny you. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Regardless of what you do, He's going to be faithful, okay? He's there for you. Verse 14, or of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, don't be one of these religionists that any little old legal thing that they can argue about, they would rather argue than discuss truth. They'd rather argue than let God's Word speak for itself. You got a problem when you hit a stump like that, okay? That's an old Southern saying. I don't know if you know what I mean. I think you do, all right? Verse 15. Study. Do what? study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you rightly divide the word? Well, you pay attention to the subject, object, okay, and the article. Okay. The time, fix the time, who is it written to, what's he talking about, divide it, and know who is it written to, what does it mean, okay. And so it is. Verse 16, listen carefully. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Do you know what this word increase is? This word increase is pakapto. It means it's going to happen regardless of how hard the wind blows against it. They're going to get worse day by day. Why? Because they're bad. That works both ways. When they're evil, they will move ahead. They're not going to give up easy. Why? Because they're not rightly dividing the word. They'd rather argue about the word or anything that comes along. And so it is. So there you have the word increase is the same word, but it doesn't mean good. Okay. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, and so it is, that the wicked will increase also. So don't let that shock you. You're in a world that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But it's not for you. Why? Because you love our Father. You're in Him. He's going to protect you as long as you utilize common sense and protect yourself and beat the system. That is to say, be wiser than the serpent and take care of your family and stick to God's Word. And you, I don't care how hard the wind blows against you and your family, you will be successful. You will succeed. That's not to say that old wind may not rock the boat occasionally, okay? And don't get nervous when it does. This is the trouble with some Christians. That old boat gets to rocking a little bit and the wind get a little hard and it looks like it's really up. That's the time to really pray and get this thing in gear and be wiser than the serpent. He's trying to take you down. But you're smarter than that. Why? Because you're wiser than that. How is it? Because you've advanced. You've succeeded. The apostasy is coming. And you must advance to the point that you know you will not be deceived in that apostasy. It's going to happen. What does the word apostasy mean? It means people changing their mind in an instant. Their professed beliefs in an instant. Well, what instant is that? Well, Paul makes it very clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. It's when the vile one appears. Instantly. Not because they're going to think it's Christ. Well, why will they think that? Because they haven't studied God's Word to know that the false Christ comes first. And there they sit out there thinking they're worshiping Christ and Satan himself. Do you think that's going to make God happy? Of course it's not. But if you stand against Him as He has given you the power and the authority, you're going to do just fine. Okay? You're going to do just fine. Okay, one more place we're going to go. We're going to go to chapter 3, this same book. And we're going to pick it up with verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. And this will be the conclusion, a few verses here. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from which they turn. This is talking about in the last days when false prophets and preachers would come along speaking, would be accusers, despisers, high-mindedness, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof from which they turn away. Can't stand religion. Don't have time for it. You may have met somebody like that. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. What's wrong teaching? With wrong doctrine? That's why when somebody never teaches the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse, you want to be very careful. Verse 7, ever learning, boy, they pretend in it, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's to say the full truth, the simplicity in which God teaches. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. What did James then do? How did they resist Moses? God had told Moses to go there with the staff, and he threw the staff down, and it became a snake, okay, a serpent. And Pharaoh's little prophets came up, and they threw their staffs down, and they all were little serpents also. There was just one big difference. Moses' serpent ate theirs up. Okay. Now, that was a miracle. It's to let you know God's in control. They may be snaky, and they may bring off some pretty wicked, wicked things. But as long as you stick to the Word of God, you have the power and the authority over anything of that nature. Do you know where that's written? It's written in that book we started in, the book of Luke, chapter 10, following verse 18. Where Christ says, I give you power over all of your enemies, the serpents, the scorpions. I give you power over even Satan, if you would. In what? In the name of Jesus Christ. That is authority, my friend, and you must learn to use it. Because those times are coming whereby you're going to be called upon, and the Father expects you to allow the Holy Spirit to do just that. Verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and theirs also was. Do you know what this word proceed is? I guess you can guess by now. It's prokopta, which means the wind is already, they have no wind in their sails, and they're through. They're going to sink. Wickedness does not work in God's eyes. He will not allow it against those that believe. Understand, there's a big difference there. I said against those that believe. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. I've set that example before you, Paul says. Persecutions, afflictions, which come into me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. You see what I'm telling you? You don't have to worry. Father always takes care of His own in these troubling times that are ahead. Or even right now where you hear of their finances are really falling. Whose are? Okay. Whose finances are really falling? You know, I was a depression child. The real depression. I know what it's like to be out of money. Okay. I don't know too many people today that are out of money. And do you know something? In the 80s, when one of the greatest presidents there ever was came into power, unemployment was about 12 or 13%. That was something to worry about. His name was Reagan. I don't know if you remember him or not. Okay. He lowered taxes and brought unemployment down. Well, unemployment today is only 7.6%. Okay. And quite frankly, if you really want to work, you can find a job out there. Unless you listen to certain people that get you all uptight. And you think there's nothing for you when God's got His hand on you, okay? God will provide. God makes sure that His people succeed. When you advance, when you prosper, and that's what this word means, But it doesn't work for the wicked. That's why we came here, okay? For the wicked, they don't cut it. And God will never let them. How did Paul succeed? The Lord delivered me, he said. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can count on it. You're going to have strong winds as you tack into it. Who cares? You know, you were geared as one of God's elect, and you can cut it. You know, a little exercise is overcoming the enemy. You can outsmart him. That's fun, okay? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Would anyone want to guess what that word wax means in the Greek? You got it. It's prokopto. Okay. It's they're going to grow, make headway, worse and worse as we come to the end. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The Holy Spirit. God gives you the unction to know it's true. And that truth will strengthen you. You know, we're in a troubled world. But don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your mind be troubled. That would be an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're smarter than that. Just take a deep breath. Hold back. Do what's right and be blessed. The Lord will deliver you. Verse 15. And that from a child. Thou hast known that the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Wisdom comes from God. You know, I had a question from someone in television that said, why is it you always answer your questions by using the Bible? It's really quite simple. I teach Christians, you know. But I'm wise enough to know, as it's written in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, all wisdom comes from God. That's where we get wisdom. So if you're going to get water, go to the well, you know, and you'll get water. If you want water, don't go to an oak tree. Okay? It doesn't have a pump on it, all right? Verse 16, listen carefully. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's real good. It will profit you. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness. That's why we go to the Word of God, because righteousness is what is right, not what is wrong. And when you're doing what is right, it lasts for the eternity. Not like exercising the body and you really get with it, you know, and boy, you get on that Nordic track and you just about punish that machine. And then you find better things to do and there comes the flab. It'll happen, okay? So, it's most important that you exercise your mind. For that lasts forever. Okay, that's what's important, is what I'm saying. Verse 17 to complete the lecture, that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature. Okay, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the Word will do that for you. It will qualify you. It will lead you. As long as you don't stop working at it. Okay. Don't ever be one of these that think you know everything. Because you show me somebody that thinks they know everything, and I'll show you somebody that probably knows nothing. That's the sad truth. And they mislead a lot of people. They hurt people. And because we're babes of our fathers. And His Word is so very magnificent. It's so complete when we search it. And advance and prosper. Do you understand why you advance and why you prosper? Because God delivers His own. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you, Father, for advancement, Father, for truth, for wisdom. Father, let all these be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father, showing the way in these troubled times where people are really frightened. Let them be a blessing. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen.